Am I on?
Oh, there we go.
I am on. I love that declaration. Jesus for my family. Sometimes when we just don't know what else to pray, we can just speak the name of Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. It's all that we can do. Just speak the name of Jesus over our situations, whatever we're facing. Awesome. I want to try and be as simple as possible today. Because that works for me. Hopefully that works for you. I'm not going to get deep and theological. I may or may not. I've just got glasses this week to read, but I can actually see this, so I might not use them. But turn with me to John 21, if you've got a Bible. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation, and I'm just going to read a small section from from verse 15, which you know probably very well. Peter has denied Jesus three times. And then after Jesus' resurrection, we see he's preparing breakfast on the shore, and he restores Peter. But he restores Peter with an interesting question. So verse 15, after breakfast, I just love that start. Just imagining Jesus sitting down. He's cooked up some breakfast, cooked up some fish. They brought some more fish in. They've just sat and had breakfast together. They've done family together. Love it. But after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. Once more, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And then he goes on to say how Peter will die. But this is one of these words that you don't want to preach because you've got to do something about it yourself. And I've had this since August, and I've been trying to work on it myself since August. And it would be nicer not to preach it, but I feel Jesus was asking the question, "Do you love me?" And when you're a preacher and you travel around and you see stuff, you think, oh, yeah, maybe God's saying something in that. So, Bob, if you just want to pop up my first slide. So when I was coming back on from France in end of August on the Channel Tunnel, there was a car that pulled up a couple of bays alongside us, towing something or other. And I noticed this car because it had a flat tyre and they had to change the tyre. I'm thinking, oh, that's tough. You've got to change your tyre over. They had to get everything out of the boot because the tyre was underneath and it was absolutely rammed high. It seemed to have an army of children, but they got all this stuff out, changed the tyre. But on the back of the car had this sticker. Each of these were individual letters. "I heart Jesus. I love Jesus." And I thought, that's great. I was kind of almost going to go and talk to them, but I didn't. And I thought, that's great. They love Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? And then, if we go to the next slide. He started, there were individual letters, he started to peel off the J, the E, and the S. And then when we're left with this, if we click on, "I love us." And I was so struck by that. And I couldn't let it go. I didn't speak to them. I wanted to. They'd got the wheel changed at this point. That was the last thing he did. Peeled it off and off they went. And I thought, I mean, immediately into my head comes Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But that's not what I want to speak to about today. But I really, as I've mulled on that, and that's just, why would you do that? Are you ashamed to do it? Why would you do that? I've really felt God bring the challenge. Do I love Jesus or do I love us? What does it mean to love us? Do I love myself and the things I want to do and my life and me and my priorities? And do I love myself more than I love Jesus? And Jesus asked Peter 3 times, which is part of his restoration, do you love me? And so I felt Jesus asking me the question out of this, do you love me? Do you actually spend more time loving us and yourself and what you do in your life? Or how much room do I have in your life? And how much do I love you? Do you love me? And that's not a challenge you particularly want to receive. So then I'm thinking, well, what does it mean to love Jesus? How do you love Jesus? So I want to just be practical this morning and give you 5 practical ways and give myself 5 practical ways that we can love Jesus. Now, if you're a theologian here, please don't get upset, because the 5 things I'm going to use aren't actually in the Bible, but there will be biblical principles associated to these. But you may have heard, and I wish I'd heard of this a lot sooner in my marriage and also as a dad, but you might have heard of the 5 love languages. And it's a Christian that's come up with the 5 love languages, but you don't see 5 love languages in the Bible. But I'm going to use them as a simple thing that we can remember. So if you don't remember anything else from what I say this morning, you can go away, look up what are the 5 love languages, and therefore how can I use them to see how I love Jesus. But what the 5 love languages are about, they are gifts, giving gifts, acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time, and touch. And it's a really good thing to know in any relationship with someone that you love dearly, because what might be their love language and what's important to them could be very different to what is important to you and your love language. So by way of an example, if I am buying flowers every week for Jules, and I'm buying her some jewellery and I'm buying her some nice perfume and a bunch of stuff, I might think, wow, I'm really showing how much I love Jules. But Jules's love language is not gifts at all. She would actually not like me buying flowers, because it's hassle then dealing with them when they die off. So that's not her love language. But I might think I'm demonstrating love to her, but that's not her love language. I might actually wash the car and mow the lawn and hoover the house. I think I've shown love for Jules, I've done all these things. But actually, what she might have wanted me to do was not leave my socks on the floor, which I don't do, by the way, but not leave my socks on the floor, not leave the room messy, not leave the toilet seat up, or do the washing up, because those were the acts of service that she was looking for. So do you get the point that we've got different love languages? And it's not just with husband and wife. This is one of the things that's really interesting. In schools, you can't touch a child anymore. And if the child's love language is touch, and they just want to be held, and they want to know love through touch, they're being deprived of that because of abuse. I wish I'd known this kind of for my children. My eldest son, his love language is words of affirmation. And I feel I've probably not done that well enough as a dad. But he would say, no, Dad, you've done okay. But if I'd known that more, I could have really poured that affirmation into his life. And for us, we'll have different languages. And it's important to understand those, because you might be thinking you're loving your loved one, this person that's dear to you, but you're pouring out what's a love language to you, which might not be a love language to them. But for God, what's the first commandment say? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. So everything. So whilst I'm going to use these five, we've got to love God with everything. Now, I'm quite good at the love language that's good for me. But I'm not necessarily good at the love language that might be good for Jules, because that's not mine and it doesn't come naturally, but I have to choose to do that. And with God, we might not be good at loving him in every way possible with everything that we've got. But I'm going to just give you some five, using these five practical ways that we can love Jesus. So I'm thinking, do I love us? Do I love myself? How much do I love Jesus? How do I love Jesus? So the first one, in terms of gifts. In Malachi 3, it's a great passage about giving to God. The thing that I love about the concept of giving is that he's given us everything. So everything we have is his. And all he's asking for is, or tithes and offerings, I'm allowing you to keep 90%. I'm just asking you to give 10%. Well, there's offerings on top. But God's given us everything, and it's his, and we're giving back to him. And you know, you can look at Malachi 3 in your own time, but don't withhold the tithe, because then you'll be withholding God's blessing on your life. And that's not just financial, that could be health, that could be work, it could be any number of areas. As we give to God, he releases his blessing in so many areas in our lives. And it's, we should be cheerful givers. I love it when people have said, I've probably only think of once where I've been in that meeting, but someone said, well, dip into the wallet of the person next to you and give as you really want to give. But it should be a joy to give to God. And I love it when your money can make a difference to things in the kingdom. And can make a difference to the gospel, can make a difference to the church. So just even here, anything that you give here in terms of tithes and offering is going to make a massive difference in a small community. But giving isn't just giving your money, but it's giving your gifts to God. So even your spiritual gifts, your natural gifts, what you're good at, is giving that to God. It says, when you do your job, you should do it as though you're doing it for him. Whether you like your boss or don't like your boss, you should do your job as though you're doing it for him. In all things that we do, we should do it as though we're doing for him. And if we give with energy and we give with joy, we're touching the heart of God, we're blessing God. So I think there's some real easy ways we can give to God. Quality time. I'm just going to jump to, this is a hard one. I don't like this one myself. How much quality time do I spend with God? These days, when my phone's up there, here we go, got an iPad. When you've got technology, and the technology demands all your time. What did we do if you don't have the technology? You're probably in a great place. But what did we do before we had this technology, before it was demanding our time, and all the information that it's pushing at us? And you can't see a young person walk along the street these days, particularly young girls. You can't see them walk along the street unless they're doing this. And they're probably typically talking to somebody as well at the same time. Or they might be FaceTiming someone while they're walking down the street. It just demands all your time. And how much time do I set aside, quality time, to be with God? to love on Jesus. So I'm really preaching to myself here. I don't like what I'm saying because it's a challenge, but I'm working on it. But I like what it says in Matthew 6, verses 6 and 7. So this is where Jesus is teaching about prayer, and prayer is us communing with God. He says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And then he goes on to the Lord's Prayer. But how often in our prayers is it one-way communication? Is it, Lord, we want you to do this? How much do we spend time just hearing what he wants to say to us and have that two-way communication? And if I spent time with Jules and never let her speak to me, she might be okay with that, but probably not, because I want to hear what she's got to say. And if we're not having that two-way communication, and it's just me babbling on all the time and saying everything that I want to say, then I'm not taking time to hear what she wants to say. And how much do I do that with Jesus? Just, it's one way. I need you to do this, Jesus. How much do I go and find that secret place, wherever that secret place might be? For me, I like to, where I work, I like to take time out every lunchtime when I'm in the office, but when I work from home, I like to take time out and just go for a walk. And that's me and God time, just to spend time. And I'm not saying anything a lot of the time, but you're just being with him and being open to him speaking to you and what's he saying. So that quality time with him is a challenge. But he wants to just walk with us and talk with us. When my cousin was younger, his favourite song was, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And we should have that relationship where wherever we go, we're spending that quality time with him, because we're walking with him and we're talking with him along life's narrow way. Acts of service. I'm going to go to Matthew 25, and this is a bit about the sheep and the goats. And the interesting thing about the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25:31, and it says, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And you think, oh, that's pretty obvious to separate a sheep from a goat. But the Middle Eastern sheep look very, very similar to Middle Eastern goats, and it can be very difficult to distinguish between the two, which is the point here. But the sheep will be at the right hand and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on the right hand, the sheep, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them, I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So part of loving God is loving others and looking after others and caring for others. how do we serve him? We can serve him as part of the church. We can serve each other. But just as I gave the example with Jules, oh yeah, but I've mowed the lawn and I've hoovered the house and I've washed the car. Come on, I've shown my love for you because look at the car. Doesn't it look amazing? Your car is clean. But if I'm not doing the right, if she wants me to do the washing up and that's how she knows that I really care and really love her because that's important to her, then I'm serving in the wrong place. And you might think you're doing lots of good things. And as we're serving God, how do you want me to serve, Lord? What is it you're calling me to serve? How can I best serve you? How can I best serve others? And we've all got different gifts, which is brilliant. Because if we all had the same gifts, we'd all be fighting to do the same thing. But we've all got different gifts and we're all different. And God wants to use us differently. And that's what makes us a family. Because he can use us collectively. But yes, Lord, how can we serve you? How can we serve others? How can we love on you by serving? And then there's words of affirmation. And this one I find easy because I'm quite an emotional, passionate guy. So I love spending time in sung worship where you can just pour out your heart to God and tell him that you love him. And I don't like those songs that are kind of me, me, me focused or whoa, what a terrible thing I'm going through, but somehow I'll scrape through and you'll be with me there in the morning. And I know a lot of David's cry was that because he was going through some difficult times, but I love those songs where we're just pouring out onto God how wonderful and how awesome he is. And those words of affirmation, he doesn't need us to tell him how wonderful and awful, how awesome he is. But we can demonstrate our love for Jesus by just pouring out, telling him how wonderful, how awesome, how amazing he is, how loving, how faithful, how kind. And you can go on and on and on. And I've just found that quite releasing over the last few weeks that I've been looking at this, that every time I'm in worship, I'm just cognizant of I'm just pouring my love on him by pouring out those words on him. And I was struck recently by one thing I heard. If you're a good Jewish man, you will count your blessings. And what does that mean? A good Jewish man will be thankful at least 100 times in a day. So that when he wakes up, he'll say, I thank you that I'm alive. I thank you that I've had sleep. I thank you that I've got somewhere to sleep. I thank you that I've got family. I thought that was quite amazing. 100 times, at least 100 times in a day. And in that thanks, that's thanking God and saying how wonderful God is. I thought that was a nice challenge to kind of take on. And then touch. Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? How can we touch God? And we can think about the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. But how do we physically touch God? And for me, this is about intimacy and being close to God. And you can read Song of Songs and you can learn a lot about intimacy in Song of Songs, a love poem between the beloved and and the lover. But one of the verses, I speak French. I like looking at verses in different translations because things come out, sometimes things that you never see before. So in French, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. In 1 Corinthians 6, Jesus is Paul's talking about sexual morality and what it means to be pure and right. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, in French, which I'm not going to read the French, but I'm going to translate the French for you. It says that the one who unites themselves with the Lord in their heart becomes as one person with him. So we should be so intimate with him that he is one with us. I love where Paul, one of my favorite bits, where Paul says, it seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit. And just that little phrase implies that wherever he went, whatever he was doing, he had that relationship with the Holy Spirit, that what seemed good to him also seemed good to the Holy Spirit, because they were one and they were in tune. And because Jules is my wife and we've been married for 26 years, we are one, and I know what Jules would be thinking, what I'm be thinking, and we're one in what we know each other that well. And I want to know Jesus that well, that we are one. But we become one with him, and he's in us, and we're intimate with him. So we press in to him. Now, I've just used five to help us remember there's so many ways that we can love Jesus. But maybe those five things can be helpful to us. The good news is that we're not all going to be good at all of those, and that's okay. So I might talk another time about mushrooms and oak trees. But we're called to be oaks of righteousness, and an oak tree takes 80 years before it becomes mature. So that's okay, because we're on a journey and we're becoming mature and we're learning how to love Jesus with all our heart, all our soul and all our mind, with everything that we've got. And a mushroom becomes mature in about 20 days. So we've not got to get it solved in 20 days, but we're called to be oaks of righteousness, where we're working our journey through with God and loving on Jesus. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to spend a bit of time together, which is why I wanted to do some worship afterwards, to pour out our words of affirmation on him. Just as we sing together, just pour out our love to him, to let him know how much we love him. At the same time, whether you give, if you give by direct debit, we bring those gifts in our worship to him. Say, I want to love on you with my giving, God. I want to love on you with who I am. And we spend time with him as we worship him, and we press in our worship just to touch the heart of God. Very simple. But let's just spend a moment together just loving him.